Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
It's hard to know which part of Africa has suffered the most, but I think Sudan would have to be right up there. Until 2005, the North African nation endured one of the longest, deadliest civil wars. In 30 years, around 2 million people were killed and 4 million forced from their homes. But behind all of this suffering, miracles have been quietly taking place. And across that troubled country, people in desperate need started crying out to God. And this was the start of the church in southern Sudan. Although war-ravaged, Christianity has grown there from what was only 5% of the population to an estimated 70% of the population today. Bishop John Thon was one of the very first people to come to faith in those early days, and today he oversees 300 churches with close to 100,000 members. He's in Australia and with us now. Bishop Thon, welcome to Australia and nice to have you on Open House.
Yeah, thank you very much for your welcome, and I'm glad to be here. And the way I visit the churches, and I have warmly welcome from all community and the government of Australia, and as well as the churches, especially the church leaders.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. We were just talking in between, just during the ads there, and we were saying how this is actually your first time out of Africa, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So even sitting in a radio studio like this, this is all a new experience.
Yeah, it's just the first time for me.
what else have you seen in Australia that has been a first for you?
Yes, Australia is I can say it's one of the developed countries in the worldwide.
Yes,
and we can't compare with any country in Africa because. Is advanced.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because the living situations that you have back home, you're telling me, it's still grass huts and still kind of thatched buildings and things like that.
Yes, it is. You know, we are beginning from nothing, and especially southern Sudan, our houses are grass building or hash building, and we don't have the concrete building.
No concrete buildings.
We are praying for it.
No escalators.
No.
No lifts and things like that.
Yes.
Well, what a clash of cultures. Your story, very interesting. You grew up in a non-Christian family at a time when your country was mostly into animism and spirit worship. Mm. Now, tell me how you came to faith.
Where I come to faith is... you know, God has his own way where he's calling a person or people of the nation. I was called by God when I was about 9 years and to 12 years. And even before I got to school, God showed me the miracles. And I just read ABCD in the air in my force.
Mm-hmm.
And... until I tell my, I show my brother, can you look this? Because I don't have the name, the correct names.
So you had a vision, did you?
Yeah, I have a vision.
Yeah, and so, other people around weren't seeing it, just you.
Yeah. I show my brothers and then they don't see it.
Hmm.
I tell them that the way I see myself, I will not get old before I go to school because I had a school. And my calling, I was, there is a flood happening in our area. And that flood, I went to northern Sudan, and some people went to that side of Juba,
mm-hmm.
because it's a yell, and our place is so flat. When I went there, and God called me, because I was employed in the government, and then during the month. Mainly salary. Other people sign, and then some. The others like me, those who doesn't know how to read, the cashier can put your hand, and then put it in the hymn, mm-hmm. and put it where your
okay. So other people could other people could read and write.
Ah, yes.
And you couldn't read and write.
Yeah, yes.
And somebody else was kind of signing in for you, were they?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But
okay.
that one annoys me. God called me on that way.
Okay.
So I think that I will go to church.
Yeah.
When I went to church, I am able to be taught in my language.
Yeah.
And
so the church taught you how to read and write?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So until I go to adult education, and I know how to write and.
And how old were you when you were taught to read and write? How old?
Yes, about 17.
About 17. Yeah. Mm. So you're learning to read and write at the age of 17.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, what's the connection between that then and you coming to faith?
Yes. Immediately when I know how to write in my language, I was under teaching of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I know how to read the Bible. I know how to understand, and I have converted completely, mm-hmm. and I have vision and born again.
Okay, So you hear the Bible, and then you make a commitment to Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and then you feel God calling you back home to the Southern Sudan, because
yes,
we were talking about before
after,
about a flood.
After I've read the Bible, after I have classes in English, and then God told me that I have a dream. God told me, you have to go back home,
mm-hmm.
to teach the people, because I have opened the church, and the people come in, but God has remembered me, go back and teach the word, mm-hmm. my word, in your home area.
And there'd been no missionaries in your area before, had there?
There's no missionary.
No.
People have not heard the good news.
So still before. Spirit worship, still yeah. animism.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you come and you start teaching the Bible in your home?
Yes, yes.
In your hometown?
Yes, yes. In my hometown, I start under the tree I have a drum. I have to beat it,
uh-huh.
and then the young people come,
uh-huh.
and then I teach them the songs and teach them the Bible until the church grew little by little, very fast.
Yes,
and until I went somewhere where there is another pastor, and he come and baptize the people from my church.
Okay.
Yeah. And the church grows.
So what year was that? What year did you start teaching the Bible in your hometown?
It's 1983.
1983.
Yeah.
Okay. So it started with a handful of children, really.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it grew.
Yeah.
Okay. Within a year, how many people had come to faith after about a year?
About a year, we have about 2,000.
About 2,000.
About 2,000 because of the miracles.
Because of the miracles, Bishop John Thon from Southern Sudan is with us, and we're just talking about the amazing growth in the Christian church over the last just 20, 30 years or so. Now, tell me about the miracles. What was happening there?
The miracles, that time it's a war break, a civil war break in Sudan between mm-hmm. the south and the north.
Mm-hmm.
And then the road, all they were closed, and the church is only the hospital. When everyone is sick, he has to come to church, and then
because the church became the hospital building, didn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Not a building, spiritual hospital.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
So when everybody is sick, he has to come to church,
mm-hmm.
and then we pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
And even the woman, sometimes they have problem disease, and then when they are pregnant, also they can have a problem and then have abortion,
yeah.
and the dead body, dead child body has not come out,
yeah.
and then she come or they come, then we pray for them or for her, and then immediately the dead body will come out after yeah. hours.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. So what kind of other miracles did you see happen and do you see happen as a result of you praying for people?
Yes, we see many, but I can tell one or two.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle we have seen is a healing, and also we were praying for the, because in the north they send us about to bomb everywhere,
mm-hmm.
So that it's one of the plane used to come and bomb us.
Yes.
And then one day we passed praying, fasting prayers, and then from there we pray about it and against it, and then next day it came, and then you get mechanical problem and it crashed. And
so the
lie
plane
down with a live pilot. Yes, and that
so the plane was, that was bombing your area.
Yes,
but then after you praying for a couple of days, had mechanical problems and crashed. And
yes,
and couldn't bomb you anymore.
Yes, yes, couldn't bomb us anymore. And even the pilot is well identified because it was from Iraq, and he's a soldier. I was come and bomb us over there.
Yes,
and
wow.
Even he took to the LPLA leader on those days, and still, and even he has sent back home alive.
so he actually survived. Boy, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, what kind of healings have you seen the Lord do with the people that you've prayed for? Give me some examples of. What kind of healings?
Kind of healing when someone is sick. God, when I pray for them, God bring healing. Some people who are needing also a child, when I pray for them, they get healing. Another big miracle, often when I pray for a girl, a girl, a group girl which is about 25 years, and she has not become a lady because she has no menstrual period.
So the menstrual period.
So and one day she's in my my Christianity in my youth. So one day she came to me quietly and told me, "Pastor, on those days I'm a pastor. Pastor, I would like you to pray for me because I have this problem."
Yes.
I say, "No, yes, God will take care of it." I pray for it. She went, and after a month, she came back to me. She said, "God, I've done it. I'm now okay."
That is amazing. So the news about these miracles then spreads throughout, and people say, "Wow, you know, this is the God who heals, who has power."
Yeah. Another miracle is God have poured heard the Holy Spirit, and it's opened the eyes of the people, and also is translate the Bible into tongues, into legion songs. So because majority, they don't know how to write, they don't know how to read. So from there, God translate the Bible to the songs. When you sing the song, like you are reading the Bible. That have touched the heart of the people, and the people come to the Lord.
That's amazing. Bishop John Thon is with us. He has been part of the miraculous growth of the Christian church in southern Sudan. So that has continued to grow to the point where now you oversee 300 churches.
Yes.
357 pastors.
Yes, yes.
100,000 members in it's the Anglican Church of Sudan.
Yes, about my only one my diocese, and I have another other dioceses, about four of them, and me also too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy. Now, we haven't got a lot of time left, but just what are the great needs in the Sudan that we can pray for? I mean, funnily enough, Bishop Thon, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, actually, no, we should be getting you to pray for us because we're not seeing the same degree of outbreak of the Christian faith in Australia that you're seeing in southern Sudan. But, you know, and to what degree can we actually partner together, and to what degree can we pray for you and be part of the growth of the Christian church in southern Sudan?
Yes, a part of the growth in southern Sudan, especially we like the Christian and Christian community of Australia. We like them to pray for our churches because the area actually need the buildings and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And
we need development.
Yeah, need evolve. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Need evolve, because even the churches are we build in the grass,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
And the schools, you know, and the hospitals. There is no hospitals mm-hmm. at the moment.
No. Apart from the hospital that is your church.
Yes.
When you keep on praying for people. Now, how do you support yourself financially, and how do your pastors support themselves financially?
We are just working voluntarily, because we are just working voluntarily, and we are living by faith.
You live by faith.
Yes.
You look after 100,000 people, and you're living by faith, and you're working voluntarily.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm inspired and a little convicted. Well, it's lovely to meet you.
Yeah, thank
Bishop
you.
Thon.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
And Bishop Thon has been brought out to Australia by an organization that kind of sponsors pastors.
Yes.
And the organization is called Live Connection, and people can be a part of supporting you and the work that your people do and your leaders do through that organization. I'll give the website in just a second.
Yes.
All right. Well, and there's also some question mark as to over the next referendum, just before we let you go. There's a bit of a question mark over the next referendum for 2011 and whether that might spark some more tension in your country.
Yes. That is, we, the Southern Sudanese, and we are praying for peaceful referendum. And we like also the leaders and the community, the Christian community in Australia, we like them to help us to pray for us for peaceful referendum.
Peaceful referendum for next year.
All right.
Plenty to pray for. All right.
Mm.
Bishop Thon, lovely to talk to you. Yeah,
thank you.
Good on you. Nice to meet you. Bishop John Thon there.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.